Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Combat Club with your hosts, Pete LeCay, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albin.
Oh my God!
Hey, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that is our man in the booth replacement.
Placement booth man!
Boothman is sadly off again this week doing whatever Boothman does.
Don't ask.
He does a lot,
don't
though.
Ask.
Yes. But, very exciting news.
A lot of exciting news. It's your news. Your news.
Went through puberty.
Hey! Yeah!
Marty's got to be excited about that.
I am no longer her child husband.
Hell of a honeymoon. Must have been a great honeymoon.
Anyway. It was weird.
I got 4 days until I joined the Ring Club.
Fellowship of the Ring Club. It's a big deal. Frodo.
Are you guys going to look down on me as the only unmarried member?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gone through a lot of changes together.
Sure. Well, actually, tomorrow is your birthday.
Yeah! Not midnight! Who's coming with me?
Not me.
Okay. That's a present, actually.
Yeah. And biggest news of all, guys, today I ate a sandwich!
Oh! Congratulations.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, you've gotten so old. That's an event.
Yeah. Anyway, big events. This, of course, right here,
tonight,
Comic Book Club
show.
Tonight is a big event because we have two amazing guests.
That part,
yeah. So let's not waste any more time. Let's bring them out, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Schadauer and Jacob Shabbat. Yeah! Yeah! Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here.
Well, thank you for having us. Very excited to be here.
Yay! Let's talk to you. Really? Did it come out disingenuous?
Yeah.
It was genuous. Jacob, let's start with you. Talk a little bit about comics, little guy in your shirt, etc.
That's Skullboy from my comic, The Mighty Skullboy Army. A collection of all the mini comics, other comics I've done, was published by Dark Horse a year ago now.
Well, for those who haven't read it, talk a little bit about what Mighty Skullboy Army is about.
It's kind of a hard concept to explain, but it's basically Skullboy. He's like a little kid, but he's like a kid supervillain almost, and he's got this monkey and a robot that he sends on tasks, and they always screw it up.
When you pick a monkey and a robot.
I don't know. Well, I think it's like the monkey helps and then the robot brings things down.
They're both no good.
And you're working on an upcoming, at some point, anthology for Marvel, right?
Yeah, Marvel has this kind of indie creators anthology that's upcoming sometime in the near future, and I did a short story for that.
Cool. Can you tell us at all what it's about? Or?
It's about the thing growing a mustache with chia pet seeds.
Nice! A lot of people are writing in about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this collection is kind of interesting, right? Because it's Marvel taking indie creators and putting together stories like The Thing growing a chia mustache.
Yeah, they basically said, you have 4 pages, do whatever you want to do.
Nice. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yes, that's what I did.
That's a nice choice.
Did you have to run anything by Marvel for, I mean...
Or Chia, for that matter.
Well, they said I couldn't use the name. Like, I could use Chia, because that's the plant, but I couldn't use the box or logo or anything like that.
Oh. So did you use Shia?
No, I just kind of, like, spelled it weird. I think I call it Chia Pal.
Nice. Smart. Those Chia assholes are always getting the indie guys. You know?
They just want all the Chia money.
Yeah.
What do they think it does?
Chia millionaire.
Grow on pottery?
The Chia lobby was responsible for a lot of the credit fault swaps that we've been blaming our people.
Yeah. Cool. Eric, let's talk to you for a little bit. What do you think of Chia pets?
Seriously.
I have 17 at home.
Crossover.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your path into comics, because I think it's kind of interesting how you got there.
Well, I decided to be a cartoonist when I was in high school. I went to the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon and Graphic Art. As soon as I got out of high school, so that was my that was the end of my education. Graduated from there. The day I graduated, the day after I graduated, I got my first job doing lettering for First Comics. Lettering, I think it was the last two issues of Warp killed that book. And I got lettering for the last two issues of Star Slayer killed that book.
Wow.
But then DC gave me a job drawing, actually, not just lettering, although I had to letter it too for a story in New Talent Showcase. And soon after that, my First Comics was giving me tryouts for inking, and I was inking Nexus for about a year, and then I started this series of graphic novels based on the Oz books.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my first major.
Well, what's involved in something like that, in doing an Oz comic book, at least talking about those specifically, because obviously there's a licensing involved, getting it by the estate.
There's absolutely no licensing involved, because, well, at that point, not all the Oz books were in public domain, but enough were that I could use plenty of the characters and concepts and come up with new original stories. By the time I was done with the five books in the series, all the Oz books were in public domain, and there was no problem. I could do whatever I want.
Quick question, Return to Oz, totally frightening, right? Yeah.
The rollers, the wheelies, right?
Yeah.
Is that what
we're talking about?
Oh, you guys are still here.
Yeah.
So comic books.
Electroshock therapy for Dorothy, and, you know, women missing their heads and screaming out the tops of their necks and stuff like that.
Again, you guys are coming.
The desert turned people to sand
scared me.
Yeah, always. When I was a kid, I was like, don't go to the beach. Don't go to the beach. It could happen to you.
I saw that movie the opening night at Radio City, of course, because I'm a total Oz geek, so I had to go. And in the books, you know, they have the Deadly Desert, but no one has ever died on the Deadly Desert in the books. And you see this on the big screen at Radio City, and the wheelers go right onto the desert, and suddenly they turn into dust and crumble away, and it was pretty, you know.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your next project, which you worked on, Age of Bronze.
Yeah. Age of Bronze, that's my retelling of the Trojan War, the entire Trojan War, using every single version of a story that's ever been told from Homer's Iliad on down, all mushed into one long story, reconciling all the differences and set in the correct time period so that all the sets and costumes are archaeologically correct. I'm doing the best I can.
Really, that's quite a pitch.
Yeah.
So, what year did you start? Age of Bronze?
It'll be 10 years in November since the first issue was published.
Whoa. And you're almost done, right?
Wow.
I'm about a third of the way. I mean, one third of the way through the story.
Yeah.
Holy
whoa.
And final last thing you're working on coming up for Marvel is?
I'm writing the script for an adaptation of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz for Marvel Illustrated.
Cool.
And Scotty Young is doing it.
Scotty Young is doing the artwork. I didn't really know his work before they put us together on this project, but he's doing absolutely terrific work. It is really, really beautiful. Full color. It's Oz. It doesn't look like any version of The Wizard of Oz anyone's ever come up with before. He just went back to scratch and just came up with his own designs for everything.
Well, that's cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Very cool.
The first issue will be out in December.
Awesome.
Soon.
Jacob, what's coming up for you in general?
I'm slowly but surely working on another volume of Scuttle White Comics. And there's assorted comics for, like, Nick Magazine or Mad Kids Magazine.
Uh-huh. And anything we can look forward to in the near future? Or
Monkey Problems.
Can you call your next volume Monkey Problems?
I think we're going titleless on these volumes. There was a point where we were working on titles. But
No titles.
Well, no, it's called Monkey Problems.
Just have High School Boy wink at us. And we'll be like, got it. Our Monkey Problems.
All right. It is time to turn to our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
We're going to talk about 870. Oh. So sad. Superman opens his shirt. That's it. That's the end.
Well, it was great. I didn't finish it, but everything else was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. You can take it out of the bag, board.
Just be careful.
Crinkle it up. Crinkle up the comic. It's spit in the bag.
Hey, hey. Side gags aren't funny.
I heard people laughing. Yeah.
So what did you guys think about this issue?
This has been a great arc, and yeah. A lot of people are talking about how, like, oh, Pa Kent, spoiler a little bit, you probably already heard it. It was in Newsday, right?
Also, it happened 25 years ago.
Yeah. Yes. Pa Kent dies, and everybody's like, why do they have to do that again? We've seen him die a bunch of other times.
Yeah, literally every single time there's a Pa Kent, he dies. Pa Kent has died several times in the comic books. He just died in All-Star Superman. He died on Smallville. He died in the Superman movies.
Damn. He died for me when he stopped raising wheat. As a farmer, that was a real...
real kick in the pants.
Real kick in the pants. Yeah, kick in the overall. But I think the way it's done here is different, where Superman is, he's growing a city in the Fortress of Solitude, and he doesn't hear Ma Kent yelling Clark. I thought that was a really cool... Yeah. And gives it something different rather than
just... It's a great issue, even though I had a pretty clear... There was no point where Geoff Johns kept secret what was happening from the very first issue in this arc, where there's a whole thing about, oh, winds are turning, and Pa and Ma Kent are talking to each other, and you're like, oh, Pa Kent's going to die.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear from the beginning, but it has this feeling of inevitability, and it's done so well, and the art is amazing.
Yeah.
Gary Frank's art is great, 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 best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
I think. Fully
out of it. And they did a really good job, especially with the art, but like, when he finally hears his mom saying Clark, and like, you know, you see him like going flying through the air fast all the time, but the look in his face and his hair, like he looks so scared when he's flying because he knows what's going on. It's a great panel.
Yeah,
really great panel.
I think this art is beautiful, but Superman looks really old here. He's in his 40s. How old is he supposed to be?
40. Well, I think it's a... Yeah, exactly 40.
You know why he looks old? Because they color his hair gray. What happened to the, like, you know, 100% blue, 100%...
I think what they're going for a Christopher Reeve thing, or Gary Frank's going for a Christopher Reeve thing, and I think it's supposed to be like a sheen. Like in the movies, he has such a sheen on his head. A Martin Sheen.
Yeah, we're looking for a sheen look.
What the hell are you talking
about? Like a Charlie Sheen. More like a Charlie Sheen. Like a
Do you feel like this
like
is
an
more
Estevez.
Like Two and a Half Men or Hot Shots Part 2? What do you think?
Comics.
What?
Comics. You like comics? Hi, yes.
Oh, yeah. Supergirl doesn't look so young there either.
Oh my god.
Well, I think that's Gary Frank. He has a tendency to draw wrinkles on people's faces.
Well, and everyone's eyes look all very dark.
I mean, he's definitely trying to stylistically make Superman not look so bulletproof. And with his artwork, he's trying to humanize him a little bit more than normal. So I feel like that's the kind of look they're going for a little bit with this. Which I like. I mean, it's definitely a choice, and I can understand what your point is, but I feel like it's a nice...
paying attention.
Good point. Well taken.
No, I think you are right that, as I said, Gary Frank has a tendency to make his characters look old. One of the reasons I think that this book in particular is doing such a good job is because not every one of them looks like they're 90 years old. They only look like they're 40 years old.
Really full.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's progressing as an artist. Eventually, everybody will look 10. Pick this up, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Get the whole trade.
Okay, cool. Okay. Let's move on and talk about Marvel Zombies 3, number 1 by Fred Van Lente.
I read this one.
What did you think?
I liked it a lot. Like, I've been reading all the Marvel Zombie stuff, and when they said they were doing a third, I thought it was going to get kind of stale, but this was pretty exciting.
This is the best of them, I think.
Really?
I think it's
kind of better. This is kind of what I wanted from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I had the same way. And the second one was terrible. And this, like, getting back to basics and using, like, shitty superheroes to get eaten by zombies, awesome. Ponce de Leon is one of the heroes in this. Which I was like,
Ponce. Yeah, and they rip him apart and they're like, we can't eat him because he's made out of water.
Yeah.
Which
water
is funny.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a good point of, like, saying that that's what I wanted from the beginning. But because this is the third one, I'm, like, so over it, I was just like, really, guys? You know, still with the Marvel Zombies? So, I...
You had to know that getting in when you picked it up.
Yeah, yeah, but I feel like the story won me back a little bit, because in the beginning it was like, they went in there not knowing that they were zombies. I was like, oh, come on. What are we doing?
I don't know, it's like Leprechaun 3, reinventing the franchise.
Yeah. Or like, or this season of Two and a Half Men is really kind of getting back to basics.
I like the third season the best, because I really feel like it,
yeah, they really get into the character development.
Yeah, yeah, Charlie Sheen was horny.
Yeah, yeah. And the other guy was so, like, nerdy and, like,
oh,
nervous.
Yeah, and then the kid was, like, something.
He's
I don't know.
Fat! I think he's fat. I've seen the show, he's fat.
Yeah,
I've anyway. yeah, I think it's great. You should pick this up even if you didn't like the second.
Yeah, what did you think about this, Eric?
I was just glad to see one tower back.
Yeah,
you are the only person. this is fun. I think this is a fun title. It's a fun series. It's silly the way it's supposed to be silly. There's not supposed to be anything deeper about Marvel Zombies. That being said, one thing that I really appreciate about Ventolenti's writing, which he also did on MODOK's 11, which again is a ridiculous premise of having MODOK, the giant floating head, heading up a criminal Ocean's 11 type organization. Which is crazy, is he tries to give it an emotional underpinning anyway, to at least give you something involved in the characters. In this case, you have Machine Man and Jocasta, who have a past together, being two robots, star-crossed robots of love.
Oh. And Dark Pong shows up for no real reason.
Portal.
Or Portal, excuse me.
Yes.
An even worse version of Dark Pong.
good, though, right? Pick it up.
Definitely good.
Cool. All right, let's move on and talk about Barack Obama number 2 and John McCain on IDW.
I'm like this, so they can be like, oh,
oh. Oh, a little debate.
I want to be the president.
Come on, you know that's what's going to happen.
They're going to kiss at the end of the debate.
Nice. I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm hoping those two crazy kids get together.
No. Unlikely couple.
Yeah.
Very.
These are very dense.
Yeah.
They actually try to tell the stories. I'll tell you the craziest part, though. Reading this about John McCain, he was in 5 plane crashes.
That's yes. Right.
He crashed.
Yes.
He's like Launchpad McQuack. It's insane. Only kids on the bus.
Obviously, like, they're pulling for the biographies of these candidates, but John McCain's story, and the way they present it, is insane, because it's constantly, like you're saying, he crashed a plane, and then there was a bigger plane crash where he knocked out half the power in Spain, and then he caused a missile to shoot into his own plane, which blew up an aircraft carrier,
and killed 132
and
people.
132
and
people.
And he went on
seriously
vacation.
Seriously considers this guy a candidate for president?
Yeah.
And then he allowed himself, then they presented it as, like, he allowed himself to be tortured, and then he cheated on his wife and did all these drugs and partied, and
there's
then, like, the last 2 pages are like, and then he's running for president.
Yeah. There's a picture of him. They're like, and then he went and helped senators in other countries on junkets, and it's him dancing at a table with a girl with a dunce party cap. I'm like, this, and it's sad a little bit because this issue about John McCain is totally biased. It's written by someone who does not like him.
Yeah,
while the Barack Obama, yeah,
he's right there. You could almost hear it. I'm alright.
And the Barack Obama one is, it's much nicer, I think. It's
but
much
he
more
really
supportive.
Did all that shit.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it, I think, and Pete, you were making this point,
yeah,
that if you're going to publish these comics, at least try to make them as unbiased as possible.
Well, yeah, I was hoping for something where it gives the bios of the candidates, but kind of tells it in a comic book form and kind of gives you some backgrounds and brings the story to life. But instead, you kind of get a slanted version, because in Barack Obama's, the last page, it shows him in front of the White House. And in John McCain's, it shows John McCain facing off Barack Obama, and they're like, how's it going to turn out? So it's like, yeah, you know. Which is, yeah. And then, yeah.
It's the New York audience! Yeah.
Worse than that, because it's Barack Obama smiling in front of Hawaii at the White House, and here you got McCain facing off, but right above it is McCain with his pockets like. little funny cards with giant heads. So anyway, very much for John McCain.
Yeah. You didn't think it was comic booky enough? He was bitten by a radioactive plane crash. And he got all the powers up.
There was some weird stuff in the Obama one where it's talking about Obama did coke and then shows some slam dunking on basketballs.
Just to talk about them purely as comic books, the Barack Obama one actually makes an effort, although it doesn't always succeed, to have just a small amount of narration going on and actually show things in a comic booky way, doing excerpts from speeches that he did, dialogue that other people have. So they actually make an attempt to make it a little bit of a comic book, while the John McCain one is terrible.
Yeah. When you get into his Senate career, it's like the Keating Five is like a whole page, and it's all giant yellow boxes with John McCain like squinting out from behind them. Here I am. I was part of this. And so it's very hard to read. But man, I don't know why make these.
Also, it's very low res.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, the scans are terrible.
The art's all bad.
Why is it important to make a comic book out of this?
Well, good to be used in classrooms to trick kids into learning.
You mean bore them?
Well, but they're like, look at this comic book. It's about a real
boring. Person. He was experimenting with tobacco, alcohol, pot, and cocaine.
And you see, he's done slamming in the
planes explode in this comic.
Yeah.
You'd think it would be more exciting than I guess. I don't know. Would you say pick these up?
It's funny to read them because it they read like an after-school special kind of.
It takes a long-ass like, time, though. It's,
it's like reading a real book.
It's like reading a real book. Why would you buy it in comics?
Fair enough. I think that makes sense. Let's move on and talk about X-Men Magneto, or Magneto.
Magneto.
Crowd's turning.
Don't hide behind a comic.
No, they don't know I'm here. X-Men Magneto Testament number 2. You guys really love the first issue of this. What you think of the second one?
It continues to be unbelievably amazing.
Yes.
Magneto is kind of like a character for me. Was like, man, he's a bad guy. I don't understand why Xavier and him were such buddies and why they were respecting each other so much. This tells the Magneto story in a way that is historically, you know, shows some great stuff historically, but also really gives you some great background to kind of get on the side and kind of understand a little bit of who he was before he turned into an evil douchebag.
There you go. Well, we talked a little bit about on the web show about the use of the Holocaust in this book and how you feel like.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a complicated thing to explain because it's going to initially come off with as terrible, but bear with me for a second.
The Holocaust didn't happen. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, the Holocaust didn't happen, and I don't like Jews.
Yeah. That's a twist.
Bear with me. Bear with me.
But Alex,
what?
No. You're
what?
Jewish.
What's going on?
Ooh.
A what?
You're Jewish.
I don't know what that means.
Clearly.
Here's the deal. I went to Hebrew school for a very long time while I was growing up, and in Hebrew school, we had an incredible amount of Holocaust education. We took courses about it, we watched documentary films, fictional films, read books, etc. So there was a lot of teaching and a lot of learning and a lot of understanding about the Holocaust, and I think when I read something like this, it comes off to me as, yes, that is a Holocaust story, and it doesn't It affects me on a small emotional level, but it's a very, in a certain way, a surfacey examination of it that doesn't really get below the basic events of what happened.
Yeah.
To me, having that education, I feel like something like a Mouse, for example, really affected me a lot when I was younger and continues to affect me. I read it every once in a while because I think it really approaches it in a very different way and brings it in a very different narrative way. That being said, and this is the part that's kind of bear with it, I do feel like things like this are really important to do in a certain way because the large majority of people who didn't spend most of their life going to Hebrew school didn't have the education that I did. So I think maybe that's what you guys are getting out of
it. Yeah, because it's rare to see a comic book story that uses like superheroes or supervillains, and it takes place during the Holocaust. And I think, like Pete's saying, it really makes you look at the character again and be like, oh, maybe there's more going on here. But, and also, I think after this issue, it's going to get into kind of a different part of that, of living in Germany and Austria and all that. So I think it won't seem as, like, the standard kind
right.
of German Holocaust story.
Yeah. Standard.
Yeah. That yeah, old thing.
But speaking of, like, education in a comic book form, what I really liked about this is, you know, obviously being a person who, you know, didn't have a lot of knowledge, you know, with
you
the
didn't
Holocaust.
Go to Hebrew school?
I didn't go to Hebrew school. When we went to school, they were like, the Holocaust is a really touchy subject, so just be careful how you bring it up.
That's the end of our unit on the house.
Okay, kinball, go outside.
Upstate New York.
Yeah,
upstate New York.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the same thing.
Yeah. Mr. McGee?
Yeah.
Oh my God! We're brothers!
Oh,
whoa. Oh. Oh. He's a facial hair.
Everybody in Mr. McGee's class is siblings?
Yeah.
Kind of like Heroes. Anyways. So, my point is, this is great because it's telling historical facts, but in a good comic book way that, you know, shows a kid that you know who he is later, but kind of you get on his side, which before I didn't like. I don't like who he's become, but the point is, it's a great book.
Evil Pete won that one.
I really like the artwork a lot.
Yeah.
I do agree that the use of the Holocaust does seem a little facile. It's just a really easy button to push. But hey, it's a comic book.
Some places the artwork is kind of like Tim Sale almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
which is a compliment.
Is the kid, is that Magneto?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't make the same mistake. Hide your face though, they won't know your name.
It's Magneto and Professor Xavier. Magneto, Professor X Xavier.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Contrarian.
Wow. He's going to disappear.
Contrarian. Yeah. Oh, boy. This could go on all night.
Okay, yeah, I just didn't know. I just wasn't sure because they keep calling him Max, and I thought Magneto's first name was Eric.
They talked about this a little bit in the first issue. They had a little bit of an afterword, how different authors have given him different names.
Oh.
So they decided, okay, this is going to be his name. We will explain at some point during the series why he changed his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But I don't know why. I can understand the last name, but I'm not sure why he changed his first name.
I was waiting for the payoff. I was waiting for a payoff of him like showing some use of his powers. Like there's a part where there's like a couple coins or buttons or something, and I kept expecting him to do something with his powers, but.
That's the part that actually feels the cheesiest to me. They have the same thing in the first issue where they have a javelin and it's sort of glinting in the sun and he throws it farther than anybody could before.
It has a sheen on it.
Yeah.
It's a real word.
Not the way you're using it. Actually, it's like,
oh, there's a lot of correcting in this show. yeah, he throws a javelin way further. Everyone's like, that's amazing how you did that. And we're like, he's magnetic. Magnetic. And he can find coins really well in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm like,
yeah, really glad the Jewish character
I was going to make that joke, but I was like, wait, I can't.
It's my Hebrew school education. Anyway, pick this up, right?
Yeah, it's a great series.
Yeah, it's well done. Moving on, X-Men Manifest Destiny number 2. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. Here's why Justin sucks.
Unnecessary. Oh. I didn't write anything.
No. You really like having three stories in a comic book. And
it's the only thing I like.
Yeah.
I just love the number 3.
Well, that's good. But my point is sometimes when you have three separate stories, like in this issue, the first two were great, especially the second one. Mm-hmm. But the third one left me so pissed off, I wanted to ask for my money back. It was bullshit, ridiculous. It's goddamn, what's the Ice Princess?
White
there.
Queen?
Yeah.
That's her name.
You should read the story.
Yeah, great. It'll get me all more upset. She's basically Tits McGee, who's an annoying and cold-hearted bitch. And she's like, why don't people like me? I'm like, because you're a cold-hearted bitch. No one likes cold-hearted bitches.
And then a lot of people like Pitts McGee.
Well, they have their place in society. But, it's just such a stupid story where it's like, nobody likes me. It's because you suck.
Spoiler alert.
And then,
And
then it just ends. And it's like, that was horrible. A horrible story. Why would they put that in there?
I like this issue. I love the short story format, especially getting a different X-Men characters and following them around. The Iceman, the Mystique story, I'm like, mediocre. Iceman's been so boring for years, he's very whiny. The Juggernaut story, where he's in a bar in the Midwest, he's trying to decide if he should be good or bad, and he's asking all these strangers in a bar. It's really funny. And the White Queen one, I was like, it's all right. It was like talking.
No,
she's horrible. Fine. Just because you don't like the character.
No, I'm just saying it's poor storytelling. You have a character who is...
Oh, go ahead.
Who his whole purpose is like... I'm very standoffish. You don't know who to trust me. I'm purposely written this way, and then I'm questioning it.
She doesn't usually say that.
Well, no, that's her whole gig. And then it's like, it's just like stupid. Like, nobody likes me. And then Wolverine's like, hey.
That's why you hated it, because
Wolverine comes
like,
over. It's like, listen, let me talk you down here. I've lived a tough life. I don't know if you know about where I came from.
That's true.
Like, come
He's
on.
He's lived a tough life. You love that about him.
I know, but it's just ridiculous. I was like, yeah, Wolverine's going to talk you down. He's like, yeah, come on, you know what? You're hot.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a paraphrase.
It's horrible.
He didn't say buff, so you were pissed off. I get
it. And he wasn't smoking a cigar.
That's your problem?
No. Come on, it's a bullshit story.
The thing is, it is inconsistent with the White Queen's character. Her whole character is, I don't care what people think of me, this is how I am, deal with it.
Maybe underneath that diamond skin,
she's a little sensitive.
Well, okay, I think that's what a lesser writer would think, and that's why they would write this story.
Okay.
Did you say pick it up?
I love it, and there are three more issues, I think, after this. Yeah.
I would, if you're going to pick it up, tear out the last story. So.
Do it in the store, leave it on the
shelf. This is yours. Do you want me to just tear it out?
I know it's not, because it's not a bag for it.
He fooled you. He did it.
Point after point.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about Crossed number one. What did you guys think about this issue?
Did anyone out there read this?
Yes.
Did anyone else out there also vomit?
Yeah.
The double page spread.
There's a splash page in this. Well, let's give it a little backstory.
Yeah, let's tell them.
So this is a zombie story, except zombies, instead of eating brains...
They ass fuck you.
They want to fuck you in the ass. That's literally what happens.
So
there's this guy who's like... Made you put it down. There's this guy who's like, who thinks that salt will protect him in his family, so he puts a little salt circle around him. And then all the zombies, quote unquote, the ass zombies are running at him. And he's like, don't worry, I got this covered. And then you turn the page, it's a splash page of him and his family being. We could be arrested for showing that.
Yeah. Are there any children in the audience? Because if so, this is what happens to you.
Yeah.
And basically, in case you can't see it, I'll just describe what's happening. This guy is being ass raped while being shown his own entrails. This lady is being ass raped.
She's yelling at him.
She's yelling at
her husband.
And she has half of her scalp cut off, and then their child is being ripped in half.
And perhaps the weirdest part is there's another zombie off to the side kind of masturbating to
the That's the weirdest part to you?
Well, that's... Why would...
You don't have a problem with ass raping zombies.
No, but that's the story he's trying to tell. If that's what zombies do in this story, then it's like a zombie is eating your brain and another zombie is jerking off watching that zombie eat your brain. That makes sense.
I have the biggest problem with the fact that there is salt in this story because I don't like salt.
See? This issue is rife with problems.
It's a little ridiculous for ridiculous sake. I mean...
Why?
Why do they? Does it happen this way?
I keep going back and forth on this issue, to be perfectly honest, because I really like...
What do you really like about it?
What
do you really like about it?
We want to know. To be fair, I think it is. It's a good...
Check your...
It's a good zombies type story. It's a good zombie type story.
Your book?
No, well, she's talking out of your school. It's a good zombie. It's scary.
Ass rape you next year.
and in this
B-A-R-F.
I can't talk.
Best ass rapers forever.
Barf.
Right?
Big member of Barf.
Here's the thing. I think, end of the day, it took me a while to cover out to this, but I think he meant Needham's this doubles page splash to be funny. Like, so over the top, so ridiculous, that's funny, and especially with the pacing of it, that the guy's like, everything's good, be all right, and then you turn it, it's the worst thing.
It doesn't get much worse than that.
That being said, my first reaction to it, and I'm not usually sensitive, is I literally sat there and, like, looked at it, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, no. And I felt like Pete the entire time.
Well, I thought when Pete read this, his penis would fall off.
Because he's like, I will never be able to live up to this. I will never be able to do this in my life.
I don't know what that's all about. I just,
we covered it enough.
Pete, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but I know you're getting married this weekend, and I got you this double page spread. I'm gonna take it out and show it to all your relatives.
This is what Pete does in his free time.
Yeah. Also, I have a real life tableau of it that's just gonna show up.
What actors did you get?
Actors?
All right. Can we move on?
That's it for the ass stack.
That's it for the stack. My favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go to replacement booth back.
Replacement booth!
Yes. Okay, first question. Are comic book purchases tax deductible?
What the hell?
Wow.
Yes.
That's a very factual question. Yes.
Depends on.
Depends what your job is, but yeah.
Okay. Did somebody from the IRS ask that?
Yeah,
if so, are you trying to trap us?
No. Comic books are not.
I don't know. Do you guys deduct comic book purchases?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to keep up with the business.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I did the show, so I could write all
the Yeah, with all the income you're making here, you're making a big trip you're getting. Congratulations, poor Pete.
Yes, absolutely it is. If you're doing something involved in comics, in it is materials, and you can write it off. If you need any more tax advice, we can definitely help you.
Yeah,
we'd love to
Come on down. Let's get into this.
Good. Also, that you're asking this in October, getting it really started.
Probably the most responsible member of the though, as an actor, you could write these
yes.
up as well.
Yes.
Tomorrow is a six-month late, you know, 6 months after April 15th, so tomorrow is the last day to get your taxes in if you are late.
Well, you better pay attention. You're 6 months.
You know, we've gotten a lot of questions on this show, and I would say that was the most ridiculous
one. And we have a prize for whoever is
raising their hand. Prize for you. It's
we got two prizes.
Raise your hand.
It's a 1040 EZ.
It's much easier.
Pete, it was me.
Great. Books from the last show.
Right. What is your all-time favorite newspaper comic strip, and why?
I really thought it was going to be, what was your all-time favorite newspaper? The Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
I read all of them.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I was going to say it.
I was going to say that.
New York Times. Yeah.
What's your favorite newspaper comic strip? Anybody?
Kathy.
Well,
I'd say. Did say Kathy?
Kelvin and Hobbes was mine.
Woo! Good answer. Good answer. Well, I'm sad to say when I was a kid, it was Family Circus. The ones when he would go on a journey. You know, follow the dash line. They were very charming.
Get out of here.
Really actually explains a lot.
What?
I don't know. You're stupid.
Side, though.
Calvin and Hobbes, I love that last strip from Calvin and Hobbes. Never else to make me cry every time I read
it. I got it.
Going a little old-timey, Little Nemo and Slumberland is probably incredible. We had a gigantic book of it when I was younger, and I probably that had, I don't know if it was everything, but certainly I thought it was everything at the time.
Everything in your world.
Yes. It's amazing, and I would sit there every weekend and read it over and over again. It's great. Oh.
They reprinted it.
Yes, they have at Midtown, they have a book this big of all the Sunday strips. It's like $100 on some bands. Jake?
Chris? You guys already picked most of the good ones, so I'm just going to say Robot Man. Anyone remembers that one?
Nope.
No.
You love Robot
Man. What was Robot
Man? Robot Man was this, I think they even made a cartoon of it at one point. It was this little yellow robot with like a red propeller on his head and a big nose, and he hung around with this guy called Jim, I think.
Garfield. He's a cat.
All right, I'm going to say Curtis then.
Yeah.
Monty.
Nice exchange over.
It's Monty.
Monty. Right.
They changed the strip to Monty now. It's, it used to be Robot Man.
See?
I'm
not
the
mom making
this up. Yeah,
that's your friend.
Well, I can't really pick a favorite, but you know, like Little Nemo in Slumberland, Harry and the Pirates, Peanuts, Calvin and Hobbes, and Ernie Pook's Kameek by Linda Perry.
What about worst? What about the worst one?
Family Circus.
You really have probably is.
Kathy.
Don. Kathy's terrible.
Lord, we're doing
BC.
Don, dude. Who said Don?
Oh, I am Lois.
Yeah, I am Lois. The Lockhorns.
Love it.
Oh, Lockhorns.
So terrible.
Kill them. What I love about Lockhorns is they published four of them in the Sunday paper. Like, this guy's just like, one, two, three, four.
Good Kathy.
Paycheck. Cash paycheck.
Kathy.
Love is.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Love is very funny. raise your hand if you ask the question.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to give you a surprise.
Well, when I was at the Kubert School, one of my instructors was Erwin Hazen, who drew Dondi, and he used to draw Dondi during class. But it was really easy for him to do because all he did was come in with photocopies of old Dondi strips and cut out the heads and stick them on and scroll in a couple back lines for the backgrounds, and he was done.
Wow.
We were scandalized. We were all these students watching him do this, and you go, okay. And
keep
you
drawing.
Could see the lines in the paper. When it was reproduced in the newspaper, you could see where the where the cutout lines were because he would draw the background, you know, and it would hit the edge of the paper.
Wow.
With his flare pen.
Funny.
When you said Kubert School, I imagined a little orange guy jumping
out
of the wrong block. Right there. I was like, that's the wrong Kubert.
No, that was Andy.
Yeah. Nice.
Let's get one more question.
All right. What comic needs to be made into a movie?
All of them.
So many.
Oh, oh, I love all. Crossed.
There are several movies where this happens.
Yeah.
Well, never mind. If you're not into it, I don't want to. It's fine.
Where the zombies jerking off? Yeah.
It's a really specific fetish. You got to internet.
Zombie jerk off is the first choice.
It's usually the first choice.
They're going to all Google it tonight.
Well, then I welcome the viewers to my site.
Comic books that should be made into movies.
Is that allowed?
Only things in this pile. I don't know. It feels like a lot of the stuff that we want to be made into movies is in development at some stages. I mean, I was saying Runaways for a while, but they are working on a script for Runaways. I think that would be a great movie or a TV series either way.
Yeah.
Obviously, Watchmen's being made, which is great. You would probably want to see a Starman movie, right?
Love Starman.
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather see a Starman movie or a TV series?
Movie.
Why?
Because that first arc would just kill it in a movie. The father side. It's hard though because I will see how Watchmen does with how much tolerance people have for like generations of superheroes. I feel like people would be like, I'll take one superhero at a time, please. I don't need 10 of them.
I'm gonna say Calvin and Hobbes.
The movie.
The movie.
You wouldn't say The Punisher?
Well, I'm excited because December 5th is going to be the Garth Ennis's...
I meant a good Punisher movie. I'm sorry.
You might see it. You might see it.
If you were getting married on that day, what would you do first?
First?
Got it! I got it!
Is she here?
Yes, he's not here, right?
Here.
Frank Castle's here, though.
So. Come on, before you answer.
No,
don't actually answer. I don't want to. I don't think.
What would you guys say? What would you like to see as movies?
That's a tough one. I kind of want to see that Mad Men movie they've been working on.
Yeah.
Great.
Animated or live action?
Live action with puppets.
Probably the perfect way to make it. There definitely would be a couple
puppets
in there.
I don't know.
Skull boy. All right. Whoever asked that, raise your hand. And that's it for your audience questions. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo-hoo! I'll make the noises.
Boop, boop. All right. Oh, there we go. Cool. First thing we're going to talk about, as we talk about every week until it gets canceled, is Heroes.
Yeah.
Meaning one more week to talk about Heroes.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about last night's episode?
Well, things keep happening.
Wow.
Yeah, there are actors and they're saying dialogue.
Yeah. It's all like 2.5 men in that one.
Yeah, there is a certain sheen to the show.
I think we got all the jokes back and we'll move on. I don't know. It has so many continuity problems that it's annoying if you watch them to watch it and be like, that's not, that can't be.
This show continues to be entirely god-awful.
It's getting worse for you.
It's getting worse because they've apparently forgotten to also edit the show correctly. I'll give you an example, and this is a spoiler for anybody who actually is watching the show. By the way, stop watching the show. What's his name? Nathan Petrelli has been seeing visions of Linderman, played by Malcolm McDowell, and he's the only person that can see him. So there's been this whole thing of, like, is he there? Is he not? Is he alive? Is he not? What's going on? Who knows? And they even have the scene where it's Nathan Petrelli talking to him and being like, are you here? And Linderman avoids it, you know, in a mysterious comic book, stupid television show speak. The next scene they cut to an entirely different character talking to Linderman for the first time ever, which I think is a terrible writing thing. This it doesn't increase the mystery at all. It's just like, oh, and then there's somebody else that can see Linderman that hasn't been established at all. It's ridiculous. Not only that, but they introduce the first character that has an interesting original power in the entire history of the show, which is a guy that can create localized black holes, which is kind of interesting and weird and cool. And again, spoiler, he sucks himself into his own.
What I love, they have him trapped.
The writing was so bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what it seems like. They have him trapped, and there's this big, long, dramatic scene with him before that. And then he's like, I don't know what to do. And he's gone. Like, out of nowhere. He just twists into the thing, like, what happened? It was ridiculous. It's just comical.
But not comic bookical.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh, cool. Thanks for coming on the show. Let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about, a little news that came out today. For Iron Man 2, Terrence Howard is no longer going to be in the cast as War Machine. Instead, Don Cheadle has been cast.
Woo!
All right.
So that's a little bit of a trade-up, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely a trade-up.
Trade-up?
Yeah, right. Well, what do you think?
A trade.
Trade.
Yeah, true. I don't know. Terrence Howard was really good in the first one, I thought. And, no?
Don Cheadle's a better actor. He may be shorter, but he'd take that on and eat it up.
We have to resize Yummer.
I don't know. It's hard for me because I bought Terrence Howard as War Machine, and when it's that scene where he was like, oh, next time. I was like, sweet, I'm going to see that next time. No, I'm not going to see that.
But in Hotel Rwanda, when he's like, if I had a suit of armor, I would save the day. You'll see that.
One person likes you.
Here's what's not okay. Joking about Rwanda. Here's what is okay. Joking about ass rape of the Holocaust.
Yeah, I know. And you guys.
Just so you know your limits.
I learned
just
a lesson.
Letting you know.
It was a Hotel Rwanda. Movie.
About a hotel. And now he's in a hotel for dogs. This is a true story.
What? Yeah,
his next movie is Hotel for Dogs.
Yeah, smart career move.
What happened to Terrence?
Terrence wanted too much money, so they couldn't take him, so instead they got Don Cheadle, who was like, I'll do anything, but it's not about a hotel.
Well, and it was funny, in the press release, they were like, there was a disagreement over money, and some other stuff. Not to be like, Terrence Howard's Greek, which I think is what they were...
I do think that I like Terrence Howard very much as an actor, and I do like Don Cheadle very much as an actor. Terrence Howard is much softer as an actor than Don Cheadle is, and is much better for playing the whiny girlfriend part, no insult, that he played in Iron Man. As opposed to Don Cheadle, I think kicks a little more ass and will kick a little more ass as War Machine.
Zombie doesn't have the accent from Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
I think.
We'll he definitely is going to, though, as part of his contract.
Oh!
Last thing to talk about. Also,
so
on Marvel movie news.
Yeah, I guess it's
equal.
Yeah, we're going to call it even. Last thing, Marvel movie news. There was rumored to be a scene where Captain America showed up in The Incredible Hulk. That scene was actually cut. From the movie, because it was deemed too dour. It started off the Hulk wanting to commit, Bruce Banner wanting to commit suicide up at the North Pole, and then turning into the Hulk and not being able to kill himself, causing an avalanche where you could see this still. Can we get the lights all the way down?
I don't even know if you guys are going to be able to see this.
It's pretty blurry.
Yeah, all the way down. Yeah, there we go.
So I'll point it out, it's a little tough to tell, but apparently... this blur over here is Captain America.
What?
Back up.
It makes you want to salute the screen almost.
Yeah. They made such a big deal of this. They're like, if you look, Captain America's there. He's there in the ice. You see Captain America. People went through the Blu-ray DVD, pulled out high-res scans. I've looked at that picture. And there's all these articles online where people are like, there it is, clear as day.
Yeah. And everyone's like, it's so great, it's great, it's great. And it's like, no, it's not. It's barely there.
Yeah, it's like, there's a shadow over here. Maybe that's Captain America.
Captain America could be anywhere around here. That's the thing.
Well, maybe the point is Captain America is in all of us.
Oh. Think about that. On the
left. You're going down back to aspirin.
And that's it for the week.
So this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We appreciate it. Who would like an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate to Midtown Comics? First hand up, guy. Come on down. What's your name?
Mike.
Mike, audience? Audience, Mike. All right, Mike, this gift card could be yours.
Thank you.
Well, easy.
Oh, Mike,
don't start like that.
I thought the question was, who wants a gift card, and I got that one right.
Yeah. Well, it could be yours.
Okay.
All
right, the questions are that hard.
Yeah. So all you had to do is pay attention for the beginning of the show, because today's trivia is on the Age of Bronze.
All right.
All right. So how it's going to work is I'll read you the question, listen to all three answers, pick the correct one. If you're 3 for 3, gift card yours.
Okay.
Here we go. Thank you. The Age of Bronze presents the complete story of the world-famous war at A, Greece, B, Troy, or C, Williamsburg. So it's either A, Greece, or B.
Troy.
Correct! Yay! 1 for 1. In issue number 1, does Paris get it on with A, mountain priestess, B, a Trojan princess, or C, a slutty wishing well? Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but I was feeling weird when I wrote this. So it's either a mountain priestess, or B, a Trojan princess.
Trojan princess?
Or you could go with A.
A.
Yeah! Yeah. Here we go. The Age of Bronze uses facts from Homer's A, Iliad, B, Odyssey, or C, Mr. Plow. What's that name again? Mr. Plow.
The Iliad?
Iliad is correct! My man!
Thank you. Nice work,
You gotta watch watch out for those slutty wishing wells. always going around asking for change. You know what I mean? Tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I don't want to take yours. Yeah, is that right? If I go with Razzle?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to go with Razzle. Secondly, with Punisher Max.
Oh, cool. You need that only to take my answer.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 6 has been good. The issues before have been good, and I'm going to pick up the next one.
Cool. I'm going to say Age of Century. We actually read it.
Yeah!
Awesome. Totally great. We did an early review of it and got completely flamed online where people were like, fuck you guys for liking the Century. And I'm not even exaggerating. It's literally like, fuck you guys for liking the Century.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. But it's a really fun series and so there's some really cool stuff happening into it that's completely unexpected.
A lot of people that comment online say crazy things.
Hmm. Huh.
Huh. Wonder why.
I never noticed that before.
Something to think about as you're leaving.
It's
very good, Age of Century.
Anything you guys are looking forward to?
Oh, the Ghostbusters comic coming out.
Ooh.
Huh.
I'll get that.
Nice.
I'm so far behind in my comics reading, but is there a new issue of Love and Rockets?
Yes.
There will be, hopefully.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
There was one that came out like a month ago that was really good. Maybe longer.
No. I like the love part, but I don't like the Rockets.
Wow, what a softy.
No, I never read it. Eric, plug something you have coming up.
The next thing I have coming out is The Wonderful Wizard of Oz from Marvel Illustrated. Issue 1 is coming out in December.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah! It's script by me, art by Scotty Young from L. Frank Baum's children's book.
And where can people check you out online?
At www.age-of-bronze.com.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. And Jacob?
I guess the potential second volume of the Mighty Skullboy Army coming
yeah.
up.
Cool.
Early next year, probably.
And where can people check you out?
www.beetlebugcomics.com.
Cool. All right. Before we leave you, a couple of little housekeeping things. You can check us out every single day at youtube.com/comicbookclub, where we have new videos and reviews and exclusive previews for you guys.
Nice.
Amazing. Also, next week, we are going to have a Comic Foundry show celebrating the 4th issue of the magazine with writers and editors Laura Hudson and Tim Leong. We're also going to have a free issue of Comic Foundry for everybody who comes here. And the issue costs $6, and tickets here cost $5, so it's like you guys are making a dollar.
Wow!
How could you not show up?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We want to thank for being on the show. We want to thank Jacob for being on the show! PM, please tell your friends good night.
Thank you, folks.
Good
night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming out to the